heard all across the United States, Canada, and around the world. This is the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. Hank is president of the Christian Research Institute. At CRI, our desire is to equip you not only to defend the historic Christian faith, but to become a winsome witness to a spiritually hungry but skeptical world, because life and truth matter. To learn more or to find resources to help you grow in grace, go to equip.org. To ask Hank a question on air, call 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Again, the number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. And remember, you can also contact us via the mail at box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Well, as many of you know, I've been talking about a book all this month that I really hope that you will not only receive, but also read, and not only read, but read again and again. The title of the book is When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, written by Marcellino D'Ambrosio. He's popularly known as Dr. Italy because people like me simply can't pronounce his name properly on a regular basis. I have to kind of work at it. But anyway, Marcellino D'Ambrosio. But this is an incredible book. It's gripping. It is one of those books you want to read again and again, because when you do, you come face to face with the very early church leaders who brought us the faith once for all delivered to the saints. In other words, we're talking about the apostolic fathers. We're talking about the great apologists of the Christian church. And really, that's what we do at the Christian Research Institute. We do the ministry of apologetics, which is the defense of the faith. We are always ready, and we're equipping others to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us, with gentleness and with respect. On yesterday's show, I mentioned Clement of Alexandria, who set an example for all of us as a scholar of Scripture. He cites passages from the New Testament and the Old Testament, the Greek classics. He makes it clear that he is familiar with the Bible, but also contemporary liturgy. Literature, I should say. And so we owe it above all to Clement that scholarly thinking and research are recognized as axiomatic to the life of the church. Well, another great apologist is Origen of Alexandria. Both Clement and Origen from this very famous region of the ancient world. You can find it on a map today, Origen of Alexandria. But if you read about his origins, it is absolutely exhilarating. And I tried to give you a little taste of that on yesterday's broadcast. He had, as I mentioned, a godly mother, and he had a father who was faithful to Christ to the very point of experiencing a martyr's death. The legacy of his father, Leonidas, was not only sealed in blood, but it was sealed in the amazing testimony of the prodigy that was his true legacy. And though Origen did not witness for Christ through martyrdom, he did die to Christ through a life of self-sacrifice. I'll give you some of the reasons I say that. Here's a man who wore no shoes. He permitted himself no more than one set of clothing. And to his dying day, he never slept in the comfort of a bed. Rather, he slept on the floor. Origen was a certifiable genius. He was one of the few certifiable geniuses in church history. So I'm not using that idea of being a genius in some kind of a loose fashion. He truly was a genius. He was the man who coined such terms as theanthropus. You've probably heard me use that term on the Bible Answer Man broadcast, theanthropus. That term means the God-man. It is pointing out the fact that Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human and 100% divine. He also used the term homoousios. Homoousios has to do with being of the same substance as the Father, or as the creeds put it, consubstantial. The Son is one in being and consubstantial with the Father. He never said homoiousios, he said homoousios. Homoiousios, that little jot, that little tittle, as it were, that little appendage, that little letter, makes all the difference in the world. Homoiousios and homoousios. One means similar, the other means same. And we make the claim for Jesus Christ that he is of the same nature as the Father. He's truly God. He's very God of very God. But most important about Origen is that he was first and foremost a man of the Bible. We call this the Bible Answer Man broadcast. We hold the Bible in great esteem, and this is the very thing that Origen did. And as such, he held that Scripture is God-breathed, that it is inspired by the Holy Spirit in the same sense that Peter meant it when he wrote about the Holy Spirit inspiring sacred Scripture. According to Origen, the Spirit of God dwelt in the biblical text as it would in a temple. For Origen, one must always, therefore, approach the biblical text as a unitary body that pulsates with divine life. And thus Christ comes to meet us in Scripture, not merely to inform us, but to transform us. In other words, it's not just a corpus of information that can be memorized, but it is a transformational repository of knowledge. It is that which changes us from the inside out. For Origen, the Bible was unlike the writings of the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles, they had beautiful discourses that change absolutely nothing. Rather, the Bible, said Origen, is like God himself. It has the efficacious power to change hearts and to bring about what it actually writes about and communicates to us. And this power, says Origen, is a testimony to the Bible's divine origins. Well, unfortunately, and I mentioned this as a little teaser in yesterday's show, there's a cloud that has been cast over Origen's reputation. In fact, the entire body of his invaluable contributions to Christian apologetics. That cloud originally was cast by Emperor Justinian, who secured condemnations against 10 doctrines that have been widely attributed to Origen. And because of these condemnations and because of what I would consider spurious tales of his self-mutilations, Origen was never canonized. Of course, Origen was celibate. And because of this, there were rumors about Origen. And those rumors took on a life of their own. When Decius declared that all inhabitants of the empire were required to carry documents attesting that they had burned incense to the gods and to the emperors, Origen refused. He refused to burn incense to false gods, to emperors who demanded that they be worshipped as both Savior and Lord. And so as a result of this refusal, Origen was imprisoned. He was mercilessly tortured. And that torture added to years of his exhausted labor, took a deadly toll. And thus, within a year or so of the death of Decius, this tireless teacher, this courageous confessor, went home to be with his Lord. You can read about this in gripping fashion because all of the color commentary that unfortunately I'm not able to give on the broadcast, you can find in the book, When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, available for those who stand shoulder to shoulder with us in the battle for life and truth. Your copy available for your support. And we can certainly use your support at this crucial time in our history. Again, your copy for your support on the web, equip.org, or when you write me at Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. We'll be right back.
Do you know what happened after the death of the apostles? Unfortunately, most Christians today do not know. While some can trace their spiritual heritage to the Reformation, few Christians have a true sense of the history of the early church. That's why Hank Hanegraaff is eager to send you a copy of When the Church Was Young, a rare book of history that is an inspiring page-turner, which will deepen your understanding of the profound debt we owe to the early fathers who preserved the rich legacy of the early church. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices from the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches. 888-7000-CRI or visit us at equip.org. Don't go anywhere. We're coming right back with more answers from the Bible Answer Man. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on 2 decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.
The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles that equip you to exercise truth and experience life. Here's what's in the current special double issue of the Christian Research Journal. Dante's Inferno can help explain hell to modern seekers. Counter to our intuitions, Dante depicts sinners as eager to enter the inferno, for hell promises to give them exactly what they want: their sin and themselves forever. Other topics include, did the universe really have a beginning? Christian apologetics in a nutshell, Christianity and the origins of hospitals and modern medicine, the indomitable human spirit of Philip K. Dick, why arguments over fetal pain capability ultimately miss the mark in the abortion debate, and much, much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. Do you ever wonder what the early church was like? In When the Church Was Young, Dr. Marcellino D'Ambrosio dusts off dry theology and brings to life the lives of early church heroes, Augustine, Athanasius, Chrysostom, and many more. Long before the words Catholic, Orthodox, and Evangelical referred to distinct and separated communities, the fathers of the church gloried in one faith, the united body of Christ, which can be none other than Evangelical, Catholic, and Orthodox. It's time to rediscover our common inheritance and return to the days when the church was young to experience new growth that will produce new fruit, new unity, and joy. To receive your copy of When the Church Was Young, Voices of the Early Fathers, call 888-7000-CRI and make a gift to support the Christian Research Institute's life-changing outreaches, 888-7000-CRI, or visit equip.org.
Now back to the Bible Answer Man broadcast and your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Hey, thank you very much, Randy. The number to dial, 888-ASK-HANK. Let's go to Branson in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, listening on KARI. Hi, Branson.
Yes, Hank, good afternoon. Good health to you. Thank you for the program. I learn a lot from your books and your programs. may I just say, very lovingly, I always have a dictionary next to me because I love your phraseology. Sometimes I don't understand what the word means. I look it up real quick. But my question is concerning adoption.
Yes.
Are we adopted or are we biological children of God?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. Let me say that the culmination of the Old Covenant is found in the New Covenant. And in the New Covenant, we find Jesus, who is the quintessential Moses, authorizing his disciples to do what is unthinkable. And again, I've talked about this on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To do what is unthinkable is to address God as Father. And to do that, there is a revelation of their adoption as sons. And of course, the Apostle Paul makes that explicit. He renders all those who have life in the incarnate Word children of God. In fact, he even calls them sons of light. And that sonship is born not of blood, not of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. That's how the Bible phrases it. And therefore, the conclusion is that our adoption as sons and daughters is never a matter of genealogy. It's not a matter of natural birth. It's not even conceived of in the will of humanity, but rather it's a reflection of God's eternal purposes from the creation of the very first human being to the present. So through adoption, God's children become what they were designed to be. We become God's by grace.
By grace. I was looking, my concentration was on 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23, where it says that being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, born again. So that the first birth, I understand it's corruptible seed, the seed of man, but when you're born again of incorruptible seed, there's only one that I can think of with incorruptible seed. That's our Heavenly Father, right? And Jesus said, say, our Father, you're born again of an incorruptible seed. And it's only by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever, by the Spirit, things like that. And I have a good debate with my fellow believers over that sand. That's why I call you.
Well, I hope we haven't spoken past one another. What I'm talking about in adoption is that this does not surpass what it means to be human, but it does satisfy what it means to be truly human and entering into a mystery that is beyond comprehension. So we, through adoption, we enter into a relationship where we are heirs, joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And so we are literally sons and daughters of God. But again, that does not destroy our humanity. We are those who become truly God by grace and not by ontology.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right. I'll pass that on to them. I hope some of them are listening, but I'll pass your answer on to me. Thank you so very much, Hank.
Well, thank you very much for your call. I do want to take an Instagram question, which is an important question. Greg Bowden, I believe it is, he asks a very simple question which requires a very complex answer. The simple question is, who is Jesus? And Jesus himself answered that question. Remember, Jesus claimed to be the unique Son of God. And he was so explicit about this that the Jewish leaders tried to kill him Why? Because in calling God his own Father, Jesus was unequivocally making himself equal with God. Jesus, in fact, went so far as to use the very words by which God revealed himself to Moses in the burning bush. And to the Jews, this was, well, it was the epitome of blasphemy, because they knew that by choosing the words Jesus chose, he was clearly claiming that he was God. On yet another occasion, you might recall that Jesus explicitly told the Jews, "I and the Father are one." And again, the Jews responded by picking up stones to stone him. But Jesus stopped them by saying, "I've shown you many great miracles from the Father. For which of these are you trying to stone me right now?" And they responded, "We're not trying to stone you for any of those, but for blasphemy, because you, a mere man, claim to be God." So the quick answer to Greg's question, "Who is Jesus?" we say in answer, "He is God, God in human flesh." And when Caiaphas, the high priest, asked Jesus, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed One?" Jesus responds with those immortal words that I referenced earlier, "I am." And then he went on to say that you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of the Mighty One. And not only that, but you will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And Caiaphas and the council knew precisely what Jesus was saying. They knew that in saying that he was the Son of Man in Daniel's prophecy, he was not only claiming to be the pre-existent sovereign of the universe, but he was prophesying that he would, in fact, vindicate his claim by judging the very court that was now condemning him to death. And not only so, he was combining Daniel's prophecy with David's proclamation, the proclamation we find in Psalm 110. And by the way, I hope you read through the Psalms on an ongoing basis and use the Psalms in your prayers. But Jesus knew the Psalms well. He was steeped in them. We ought to be as well. And so Jesus here is combining Daniel's prophecy with Psalm 110 and claiming in the process that he would sit upon the throne of Israel's God and he would share God's very glory. I should also note that Jesus claimed to possess the very attributes of God. Remember, he claimed omniscience. He was telling Peter this very night, "Before the rooster crows, you will disown me three times." He wasn't guessing. He knew. And Jesus demonstrated omnipotence, all power, by not only resurrecting Lazarus, by raising himself from the dead. And of course, he alluded to his omnipresence by promising that he would be with his disciples to the very end of the age. And not only that, but remember Jesus said to the paralytic, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." In doing that, Jesus claimed a prerogative, forgiving a person's sin was a prerogative reserved for God alone. The import of that is Jesus was again claiming to be God, God who alone could forgive human beings of their sin. Maybe one final note would be that when Thomas worshiped Jesus, when Thomas said, "My Lord and my God," Jesus responded by commending Thomas. He didn't condemn him, he commended him. And so in answer to Greg's question, "Who is Jesus?" throughout the gospel, we see that Jesus claimed by both his words and by his deeds that he was God. So again, who is Jesus Christ? He is God the Son incarnate. He is, as I was using the phrase of Origen of Alexandria, he was Theanthropus, he was the God-man. He came in incarnation, God taking on flesh, one person with two natures. Next time someone asks you the question that Greg asked, who is Jesus? Let them know that Jesus Christ is very God, a very God. Out of time for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your questions answered live when you dial 888-ASK-HANK. You can also Instagram your questions, text your question, email your question. Use social media to get your questions to us. We'll answer them on the broadcast. And remember, the resource of the month available at equip.org.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. Has God spoken? Are the words of Scripture merely human in origin, or are they in fact the very words of God Himself? 3 years in the making and based on two decades of research and reflection, Hank Hanegraaff's monumental book, Has God Spoken?, answers what is surely the most important question facing our world. In Has God Spoken? Memorable Proofs of the Bible's Divine Inspiration, Hank counters the contentions of the Bible attackers and clearly shows that belief in the Holy Scriptures is not a guess or wishful thinking. It is the only logical conclusion after an honest examination of overwhelming evidence. Order Has God Spoken? From the Christian Research Institute by calling 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Equip.org.